The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
You're listening to the PVD Cast with John Orlando.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 484. I hope all is well with you out there, and thank you very much for checking out this edition of the PVD Cast. Now, before we get into this episode, I'm just going to throw it out there that you might hear my air conditioning kick on because here in Ohio, it is blazing hot. And I know some of you can empathize with me because whether you're on the East Coast or the central part of America or even the West Coast, there seems to be all kinds of wacky weather going on. But I can tell you it's been with the heat indices, almost 100 degrees for the last 4 days. I think today is the only day that is in like the mid-90s. But nonetheless, if you hear the air conditioner kick on, we're just going to have to deal with it because as much as I love podcasting, I don't want to sweat to death in the studio. So anyways, let's get on into it. Let's talk about this episode. It is the second time that I've collaborated in the last month with this gentleman by the name of Gerald Glassford. Now, Gerald is a podcaster out of Las Vegas. He runs the Pop Culture Cosmos as well as a few other podcasts that he produces. And last month we did this, and it was a success, and it is something that we call the State of Pro Wrestling. Now, to be completely honest with you, Gerald and I have been doing this segment for a very long time. But last month, I sat down and chatted with Gerald about implementing a little cross-promotion, if you will, with the PVD Cast and the PCC. And so what you're going to hear is you're going to hear all the wrestling news that's fit to cover for June and part of July. Some of the things that we're going to be covering is a massive amount of WWE news because there's the King and Queen of the Ring finals this weekend. There's a pay-per-view called Night of Champions, or PLE as they call them. There's still always going to be pay-per-views for me. But anyways, Night of Champions PLE, which is emanating from Saudi Arabia, and there's some maybe scheduling that might impact Night of Champions. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the return of Goldberg. AEW's All In. Tony Khan and the folks over there are starting to put together a build for that event, which is happening in July. And we're even going to start a new segment. It doesn't have a name yet. We're going to come up with one. But where I share some fun stories from my time being a ring announcer and play-by-play guy for various independent wrestling companies here in Ohio. So, got a lot to look forward to. So, with that, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, you're going to hear my conversation with Gerald Glassford as we talk about the state of pro wrestling.
Ding, ding, ding. And we're back for another State of Pro Wrestling right here at the Pop Culture Cosmos and PVD Cast. It's Gerald Glassford coming back at you here for the Pop Culture Cosmos, Lakers Fast Break, and Inside Sports Fantasy Football, along with my tag team partner. He is coming into the ring. He is scheduled to weigh in at an exclusive light heavyweight 201 pounds. Next month, he'll be super heavyweight, 380 pounds.
Oh my, I hope not.
And then the next month after that, he'll be whatever, weight unknown. So whatever he wants to do. Again, it's whatever you tell the wrestling announcer. They do actually, in certain occasions, do actually officially weigh these guys behind the scenes. And then most of the time, they just ask, okay, what's your gimmick weight? Just go ahead and go forward. It is, of course, John Orlando from the PVD cast. John, great to have you here. And Matt Talk, don't forget Matt Talk, which is not wrestling related, which is another Matt related. Great to have you here, as always, to talk pro wrestling for late June and July upcoming, my friend. Great to have you here once again.
Well, Gerald, thank you for having me. I am very looking forward to this episode. We have a couple of new things planned that I hope that the listeners and viewers will appreciate. And look, we got a lot to talk about because, you know, there's a lot of things happening in the world of pro wrestling. I just came from Monday Night Raw last night here in Columbus, Ohio. Got an opportunity to check it out. Had a couple of comp tickets, so to speak, which I'll share the story. These comp tickets came. They came to a couple that my wife and I hang out with, and the gentleman is a big wrestling fan. So they went to Detroit at SummerSlam, which would have been 2 years ago, I believe. Yeah, 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And when Brock Lesnar's pyro went off, Crystal, the wife of the couple, got accidentally burned like right above her eyebrow. Yeah, from a cinder. Wow. And she goes, you know, it bled a little bit, but she wasn't really concerned about it. But WWE did. They immediately was over at her section, immediately took her backstage, first aid it. They got 4 free tickets to use to any WWE event. They got they sent them a box of like DVDs and shirts and sweatshirts and that to make sure that everything was copacetic there. So, long story short, they kept forgetting to use the tickets, and then they said, well, let's just go ahead and use them here. And unfortunately, fortunately, got to go to the show last night, and got to say, it was a pretty decent show. I will say that, especially if it's if you want to consider it to be a go-home show for the Raw brand before the big PLE. Man, though. Jade Cargill is over in Columbus. Probably the second largest pop behind Jimmy Uso.
Wow. That is saying something indeed. Yeah. She has been a superstar in the making for quite some time. Although I think she would still get cheered if she was a heel. I think being a heel for her was a more natural thing, just observing her for the past few years now. I just think she would probably be more naturalistic in the heel. And I don't know where this feud that she has with Naomi, where that's going, if it's still going, Bianca Belair, what ultimately may come out to be. But she did, as of this recording, she is headed, we think, still the WWE talent is still headed to Saudi Arabia for the King and Queen of the Ring tournament coming up here. I want to say that was awesome that you got the chance to go ahead and see Raw free. Obviously, your friend, friend's wife, did not file any claim 2 years later of any back injuries or serious injuries like what's been done in AEW. I mean, that case is very suspicious because, you know, the guy that was pushed by John Moxley. If you watch the tape, if you watch the YouTube channel, if you rewatch the match in question, I don't know. I really don't know. Plus, he worked other shows for AEW after, and then, you know, he says he needed all this extra surgery and stuff. I'm not doubting that, but yeah, the fact that he's saying it related to John Moxley pushing him down and all that started from there is like, okay. All right, but at least she didn't do that. Yeah, that's good. But at least she didn't get hit and make the delayed reaction like at WrestleMania with 10 seconds later. Oh, I'm going to fall down.
Well, I think in regards to the AEW situation, you should be aware of your surroundings. If you're anywhere at ringside, whether you're talent or you're behind the scenes or you're the camera operator or whatever, you got to have your head on a swivel. I mean, because guys will come at you I've had it happen to me in my ring announcing career that guys come to the table to fight and get out of the way, or you might end up getting an errand punch or chop or whatnot.
Well, once you, so my, I'm led to believe that once you step over the ropes, once you step into the aisle, you are part of the show.
Yeah.
You can be part of the show, and you better take it seriously. But like you said, have your eyes on a swivel just to make sure that you, you know, obviously, if be as far as you want to be, as far as being part of the act, being part of the show, being part of what's going on. If you don't have something already, you know, that you talked about in the back with the guys, you know, it just, like you said, as a ring announcer, it's part of the deal. But we'll get into your time later on the indie scene, you indie darling, you. So because it's not just ring announcing, you got some stuff that you've done overall, yeah, as far as for indie productions and whatnot. So we'll hear that in a bit. But once again, it is John Orlando from Matt Talk, and also as well the PVD Cast, along with me, Gerald Glassford. Big shout out to the PVD Cast watching right now on Facebook. It is, of course, King and Queen of the Ring that's coming, I believe, this weekend from Saudi Arabia. So we will see exactly if that goes off due to the outside stuff that's going on in the world. We'll see. It looks like it most likely will. Jade Cargill faces off against a returning Asuka. And Asuka coming back from injury 13 months, 14 months, something like that, after she had knee surgery. Actually, that knee has been bothering her a while before she actually went into surgery. And yeah, she did it. And now she comes back a little over a year later. They're giving her the push. I think Jade Cargill will probably stand tall in this one. I don't know. I just get it. They're giving Asuka a push. They're giving Jade Cargill a push. It seems like it's two great candidates to go ahead after titles. After that, as far as, you know, one for one, one for two for the Monday or Friday titles. King of the Ring has also Cody Rhodes facing off in the title match against King of the Ring match against Randy Orton. Very interesting. It's interesting because it's the way WWE has the current direction for these characters, for these individuals, as far as where they see them and where they want them to be. Your thoughts on the King and Queen of the Ring as we head to Saudi Arabia this weekend?
Well, much like you, I'm waiting to see if indeed it happens due to the turmoil that's going on in the world these days. But I like the idea of Cody and Randy Orton. Here's why. I think they can tell a really great story. One of the things that was mentioned as Cody Rhodes closed out Raw after everything went off the air, he stood in the middle of the ring last night and gave a speech about how, you know, Randy Orton took him under his wing when he first got into WWE, and that he's been a mentor and he's been a friend and he has to face him. And I think that's a really great storyline, and it's going to make it compelling. And both those guys are going to go. And I ultimately think that obviously Cody Rhodes is going to end up being the King of the Ring. However, on the women's side, for the Queen of the Ring, I was surprised that they didn't go with Roxanne Perez. I just felt like if you're showcasing some of your best athletes, your best talent, then you got to look for some good matchups. And I just think that Roxanne would have been a better opponent for Asuka than Jade Cargill. But
agree with you on that, but maybe they feel otherwise with Jade Cargill. Maybe they feel she's ready to step up and see what kind of a match she can bring against a veteran like Asuka.
And well, that's what I was going to say. I guess on the other hand, to look at it, you have somebody that can help lead Jade through a match in Asuka. Mm-hmm. If indeed, you know, something goes sideways or a spot is forgotten or whatever, you have that safety net of Asuka, I'm sure, can pretty much, you know, gloss over anything like that.
Well, that's true. But she is coming back again after, you know, a little over a year. So, you know, Jade Cargill has been known to not be and yet at the level of a worker that for a lot of people I've seen yet, that I think she can be. So this will be a challenge for Asuka, coming right back into it against someone who's not as seasoned enough pro as of yet. But Jade Cargill certainly has all the charisma and that it factor in the world. I don't think anyone can dispute that. She is really, I think, if they know how to handle it right, a superstar in the making. Asuka, a four-time champion, one of the greatest lady wrestlers, women wrestlers, wrestlers, period, of most successful coming out of Japan of all time. She has, as far as that's concerned, so the records are there. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens when it comes right down to it this weekend. And then, of course, like you said, with Randy Orton and a very interesting statement made by Cody Rhodes earlier today in regards to the fact that he's, or actually over the weekend at the Fanatics Fest, where he stated that he has only 1 to 3 years before he thinks he'll do a John Cena and become a bad guy. He would like to be a good guy forever, but he thinks that his lifespan as a good guy will be last no more than 1 to 3 years before he has to go ahead and do an inevitable turn. It's like, okay, now it's inevitable turn for everyone. I don't think being a good guy or face or heel bad guy, it has to be that way. Sometimes, you know, there are individuals who just don't work as a heel or just don't work as a face. I mean, you see it from the back, you know, when you've been back behind the curtain, you just say, you know what, that person right there, I don't know if you're, you know, they're planning on him turning heel. I don't know if that's the right move to make. Maybe the crowd will not connect with an individual like that. Your thoughts when you read or when you just heard from me now about Cody Rhodes making that statement this past weekend that there's going to be a finite time as him as a good guy. I mean, him and his persona, I don't know. I just don't know. I mean, we've seen him as a heel before. Really hasn't been quite all that good.
I agree with you in your original statement that some people are just, they're just got the makeup of being a heel and being a babyface. Lex Luger, for an example. Lex Luger, perfect heel. Never really got over as a babyface.
Are we sure what Lex Luger was when he was a wrestler? I don't think even he knew heel, face. I don't think he was just over because of his, you know, massive physique.
Yes.
I mean, all respect to him and whatnot and his great career. But, you know, he wasn't the greatest interview, but he had charisma and a fan support just because the believability factor. When you see him, mm-hmm. when you see a Sid Vicious, when you see you know, some of the guys today here in the WWE or AEW, you just know that they have to be at or near the top at all times, whether they're a face or a heel. I don't know if he ever did a great job in both. I don't know if he ever did a believable job in both. Some of his best work as a heel was just with association as a horseman. But yeah, as a face, I don't think you could really, it was hard to really get behind him just because of the fact, you know, you just always saw him as the, I think the narcissist character fit him really well. Mm-hmm. Whether or not it's, you know, is him in real life at that point in time, but it just seems like, you know, with a physique like that, how can you not be that individual that you know that you're portraying? It's really hard to stray away from that. So yeah, I can understand why you think that's the case. I mean, when he was the Star Spangled Banner guy, the fact that he didn't get the title speaks for itself.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, there's lots of examples of that. I mean, I've said it before. Naomi is a terrible heel. Like, there's just something about her that I don't believe at all that she is evil and that she's a bad person, or it just doesn't work for her. I think her personality is so overwhelmingly positive that it just doesn't work for me. And there's a current example, you know, where we're just, you know, we're trying to believe that she's a bad guy, but it's just not working. It is just not working. And I think that's one thing that up-and-coming wrestlers should think about is what's the best character for their personality. You know, as they've said before, I think The Rock mentioned it the best, or maybe it was Stone Cold. You take that dial, you go to 10, you make yourself an 11. That's where you got to be. And I think that for right now, I don't know. Like, here, I'll segue into something that I want to talk about. I don't think Becky Lynch right now as a heel is working. I think that the fans are way behind her because of the man persona. The fact that they're throwing in Bayley and Lyra Valkyria into this odd mix.
It's just, that I agree with you. It's not working. She needs to associate herself with her husband.
Yes.
And that's probably why she wanted to be a heel when she came back, is because of her husband as a heel. And that's the thing. If she becomes part of, that triumvirate, whatever group they call it, with the Oracle now, Paul Heyman, then I could get behind it. I agree with you. But Lyra Valkyria, we talked about this last month. She just, talented wrestler in the ring, still someone that I think needed another year of NXT to develop some skills. It's just the whole wing thing, and you come in there, just reminds me of another WWE not so great gimmick. So I want to see Becky Lynch given a platform that I feel that she has earned, and I just don't think that this platform, including with Bayley, and I'm sorry to say Bayley is just not there right now. Somebody needs to get creative behind Bayley and give her better stuff. So maybe Bayley versus Becky will do just that. But I just don't feel Bayley at this time, since she lost the title last year, it just has not been a great ride for Bayley at this point in time. So I'm hoping for better things for her. But just right now, I just don't see them as the equals I once did way back when.
No, that match last night on Raw was horrible. It was not a very good match. And then the finish was completely, ridiculously dumb. It made no sense. Like, there's a way to kind of do that ending, but it sure as heck wasn't done like that last night with the DQ because Lyra got involved. And it's just a bunch of garbage. They have to do something else with this match. And I agree with you. Maybe if we get some better character development or something different from Bayley, maybe that will help things out. But for the time being, this is just a slog of terrible wrestling action.
Once again, it is John Orlando along with me, Jero Glassford. Thanks again for watching this. You're watching the State of Pro Wrestling for June and July. Great to have you here. So it is King and Queen of the Ring. It is being headlined with the championship match. I'm going to call it the Friday title on the line. You know me, John. I really cannot stand these two titles, this two-title thing. With CM Punk facing off against champion John Cena, it's been very interesting with the back and forth between these two. I like the back references to it, the pipe bomb reference, the fact that CM Punk's made statements about Saudi Arabia in the past, about blood money and all that. Obviously, your opinions on Saudi Arabia has to be respected out there, whatever you think the WWE should or should not be going there. But it is a reality, a financial reality. WWE TKO has embraced fully the Saudi Arabia experience. Your thoughts, my friend, on this upcoming matchup? Because we're going to touch on, before we get to AEW and all the rest of the stuff on the show, we're going to touch on the return of Goldberg as well.
Well, I think it's been very interesting. In fact, the pipe bomb Friday night, this past Friday night, that was some really good stuff. That was some captivating television. I don't know how the match is going to end. There's so many people, so many of the men are involved in this world title picture. You got Punk, you got Cena. I mean, then you got the other champion, Gunther, and you got Goldberg, and you have Seth Rollins' crew, and LA Knight is involved in this too, and Penta is involved in it. It's getting a little bit too much. Yes, very well done. This whole storyline's gotten really, really bonkers. So I really don't know
how we're going to see it finish. I don't know if it's going to be Cena's going to get go over again with some help from one of these other individuals. I don't know. I think it's going to be a heck of a match. I think both of them are going to pull out all the stops. Where they go with this, I got a feeling they're going to keep the belt on Cena for a little bit longer.
Yeah, I agree.
But, you know, in the meantime, if he's going to keep that belt for a few more months, you need to clean up this world title picture and get your next challenger ready to go, a believable challenger, whether that's Rollins, whether that's LA Knight, whether that's whomever. Is in that world title picture, get them prepped and ready to go so that when Cena is finished with CM Punk and he has had that belt for a couple more months, maybe I like what they did with Ron Killings or R-Truth or whatnot. He got a little bit of like a bridge. He was a bridge between Punk and Cena, and I thought it worked really, really well. But right now, I kind of am going to throw my hands up in the air and say I'm not sure what to expect with this match.
I will say that it's not yet time for CM Punk, but in his tenure there, you do have to go ahead and give him one of the top two titles. I think at some point, in order to justify his return, you need to go ahead and put him at a champion, at least give him a run at least once. Maybe whenever they go back to Chicago for a big PLE, maybe do that there. As far as return for that. But yeah, I don't think Saudi Arabia is the time for them to go ahead and do any type of change for John Cena right now as far as getting the belt off him. I think he needs to have it just a little bit more. It hasn't been the greatest run with him as a heel, but it hasn't been like, you know, terrible. The summer months for WWE are always down after WrestleMania. Let's just be frank out there. This is something that happens every year, everyone. It's very hard to maintain consistent storylines that the majority of people will buy in 365 days a year, 52 weeks a year. It's just that's so hard. And always the summer months seem to suffer from it. People always, you know, they go on vacation, they become distracted with other things, etc., etc. So the summer months for WWE, pro wrestling in general, are usually a little tougher to come by. Then it starts to kick up back in SummerSlam, Survivor Series, et cetera, et cetera. Then we go back into that cycle again. I think they've done a pretty good job with trying to maintain John Cena, and he's been able to maintain as much interest as he can. A lot of that has to do with Ron Killings, I think, as far as that part of it. They had another go apart as far as each other on SmackDown. It actually increased their ratings a little bit. So I think right now he's done a pretty good job as champion. Enough. He's done a good enough job, which you'd have to say is pretty good there. So I don't see them getting the belt off him. But I do say before the end of his WWE run, you have to give CM Punk for all the stuff behind the scenes that his re-entry may have caused, you have to go ahead and give him a run because he's still so over with the fans, John.
Yes, and I can respect that, absolutely, that he's done a lot for to justify his return to the company. But yeah, I think obviously they're going to need to get him a run, but We still get these oddball runs with people that we question, you know, like we never saw Sami Zayn short title run when he was red hot there about a year ago.
LA Knight when he
LA
was
Knight.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Punk's probably going to get a run, but I wouldn't be totally surprised if he didn't know because of the way that they sometimes book things, especially for that world title pitcher.
Well, probably what they're paying him. They might have to justify it by giving him a run.
They may.
But someone who has now got another run with his victory over Jey Uso since last we spoke, Gunther, is headed towards the Saturday Night's main event against Goldberg. He's what, 58? But he automatically gets in the ring. Man, just getting to the ring, he almost blew up getting, well, he did blow up getting into the ring, just walking in the ring. And he was just like, he was just, it's probably the lighting and whatnot. Just like sweating up a storm. He comes back, calls out Gunther from what happened a year ago at Bad Blood, I believe it was. So they're going to get together in Goldberg's final match, retirement match, supposedly, allegedly, to use a Lakers fast break term. I'll just say this again. I don't know what this does. This is something I think would have been better built up with another two or three appearances over the course of the past few months. But it's probably going to prop it. It's going to pop a decent rating. They almost got to 2 million with the last Saturday Night's Main Event. They could do over 2 million with Gunther and Goldberg, John.
Okay. Look, I liked Goldberg in WCW. I really did. I thought he was something unique. He was something different. He was, he was a human wrecking ball. Like, I liked the way they booked him up until they started booking everybody like a complete clown. I mean, that Goldberg wasn't the only one. But after that match with The Undertaker, which, correct me if I'm not mistaken, took place at a Saudi pay-per-view, if I remember correctly, in which Goldberg could hardly do anything without making you cringe, thinking he's going to drop The Undertaker on his head or whatever. Just at that point, he should have just stopped. He should have just stopped. So I roll my eyes at this attempt, not attempt at nostalgia. It is nostalgia. Let's not mix words here. It's to make us all feel warm and fuzzy for the good old days. Great that it'll pop a good rating for Saturday Night's Main Event. Great that it's a showcase match that, because if I'm not mistaken, All In is that weekend. That definitely the WWE can put the screws a little bit to Tony Khan and the boys and girls over there at AEW. But ultimately, this is going to be a garbage match. I'm sorry to say it, but it's not going to be good. And hats off to Gunther for volunteering to be involved in this, because I think he's got his work cut out for him.
As Gunther said on social media, okay, I have 3 minutes. And if you know, you know. And that's all I'll say about that. But it is a Saturday Night's Main Event. Again, like you said, along with NXT, I believe, as well, they're doing a show in and around then, if I'm not mistaken. They will be, I think, both, because they're trying to target AEW's All In, basically, is what they're trying to do. And this is what their reaction to AEW's All In is. So if you have thoughts on the WWE, please let John or I know through the PVDcast or also popculturecosmos@yahoo.com, or put it in the comments below. We'd love to hear your thoughts on what's going on with the WWE as King of the Ring, Queen of the Ring, and all that goes on in Saudi Arabia this weekend.
I'm sorry to interrupt. Go ahead, Gerald. I apologize.
No, go ahead. I was just going to just do my standard intro because we got 1.5 hour down. Go ahead, my friend.
What isn't there a PLE also on the same night as All In? Because aren't they doing the Evolution? Wasn't that mentioned before?
Yes, the Evolution, the NXT. Yes, that's right. There's an Evolution NXT. Yeah. They're doing everything they can to go ahead and crush All In. And here we go again. This is the Wrestling Wars. That's not the Wrestling Wars. But as we saw from the days of the Crockett era of WCW, when WWF at that time would go out of the way to book shows, you know, right there or force the cable companies to decide, et cetera, et cetera. We'll see what happens, but this is very intentional part on the WWE's making to go ahead and spoil what is now AEW's biggest event upcoming. It is AEW All In coming up here in Texas, I believe on July the 12th, if I'm not mistaken. Is it July 12th? I think it is.
I think it's the 12th or the 13th. I can't remember.
Yeah. Absolutely. I think it is. I'll take a look just in a little bit from the Arlington, Texas. And all I can say, if that's under a heat dome, like you are now under a heat dome, John, That is the absolute worst place you could be, is a hot stadium with that. I'm not sure. Do they have a dome? Do they have a cover? Like, you know, like we're building here in Las Vegas. Oh, joy, to get the outstanding. And I use that term in quotations. Baseball team, the A's here in town, released ours. Do they have like a retractable dome or whatnot? I don't know if the Arlington, Texas stadium does at that point in time. The one where the Texas Rangers play. So. If that's the case, it could be a very hot AEW All In, but we'll have to wait and see. But it is, of course, John Orlando, along with me, Gerald Glassford. Thanks so much again for watching this thing. It's the State of Pro Wrestling. It is All In 2025. It is July 12th. It comes from Global Life Field in Arlington, Texas. I'm going to go ahead, and while I look up to see if it does have a roof, which I'm certainly hoping it does, because the middle of July in Texas has known to be hot. Your thoughts, my friend, on this makeup so far, what we're seeing as far as develop. I think it does have a an open retractable roof. Yeah, it does. It does.
Okay.
Thank God for that. Thank God for that. So, yes, I don't want any wrestlers or any fans succumbing to the heat on that, because I have been in the middle of a baseball stadium that is does not have a roof in the middle of 80, 90 to 100 degree heat, and you feel it. And that's all I'll say about that. But be that as it was said, AEW's All In coming July the 12th. They're starting to make their push towards it. How do you feel about AEW heading into its largest show of the year, AEW's All In? Because obviously WWE is concerned enough to, like you said, AEW Revolution, I believe NXT, and also Saturday Night's Main Event, all trying to wrap itself around and distract you from AEW All In. They can say they're not concerned, but actions speak otherwise, John.
I would say they're being proactive, the WWE. Like, let's be proactive and see just what this AEW can do against us. So I would say that, but I will give credit. I think AEW over the last 2 weeks is starting to really actually build some storylines and do it correctly, or at least in a manner that makes sense. I think the Toni Storm build for her against Mercedes Moné has been very well done. I think that especially the promo that was cut just a couple of nights ago, fantastic work from Toni Storm. I think that match will probably be pretty decent. I don't know. I think Mercedes Moné has slipped a little bit in terms of her ring ability, but I think they'll still come off with a pretty good matchup. And then the only other one, and I'm just curious.
Well, my thing is put all the titles on the line. Put all those titles she has on the line. And Toni Storm, I would gimmick it and say Toni Storm, you know, won't give the championship match or won't say yes to the championship match unless she puts up all the other titles in exchange. That's just what I do. So
yeah, I think that makes sense, especially since they're doing kind of like the Ultimo Dragon thing back in WCW where he had all those titles. And I don't think they ever defended all of them. It was always just the WCW Cruiserweight title, if I remember.
Well, correctly. What I do is if Toni Storm is going to win, Toni Storm just gets all the titles, goes to those championship companies and says, okay, here, have them run your tournaments, you know, create excitement for your brands, create excitement for your companies by having tournaments or special matches, whatnot, and freeing that up once again. That's what I'd do if I was, you know, but that's just me. Okay.
Yeah. I think that that's going to be an interesting matchup. The next one is I'm curious about this Hangman Adam Page matchup against Mox. I really like what Adam Page did at Grand Slam Mexico. All right, the promo done in Spanish I thought was really well done.
Yes.
It's clever. It was such a great babyface move too. I mean, just to mix in his personal background along with what's going on in our society today and this match. Oh, it's fantastic. I'm curious to see how this match goes. I'm curious to see if Hangman Adam Page is going to get a run with that title once again. So those are two examples, I think, of AEW building a logical storyline that makes sense.
And then, of course, Ribshot putting in the comments here, he hasn't watched AEW TV in a while, but Okada versus Omega, which it's leading up to, is always worth the watch for their, I guess they're combining those two titles that both guys have won, the Continental title and what, I forget what Omega has, but yes, those two titles are going to be merged with this unification match, I believe. That's a risky thing, though, Okada versus Omega in 2025, because it's not 2017. It's not 2018. It's not 2019. This is 6 years later. Okada, you know, to a lot of people, has not been used well in AEW, or has just been banking some nice paychecks, as far as that's concerned. Just not been putting out his entire effort, from what people have seen. He's not been the Okada that people have become used to overseas. And Omega, you know, he's come back. He's looked solid. He's looked pretty solid in his return from some serious health issues. But you're always wondering, they've already put between those two a level of really good matches already. How tough is it to go back to the well once again? It's like Steamboat and Flair. Let's put Steamboat and Flair into this equation. Remember Steamboat and Flair, 1989, outstanding matches. Then they tried to do a little bit of that again at a later period of time. I think it was in the 90s at WCW. They made like a Saturday night, WCW Saturday night, and I did a little bit of that later on. It just didn't have the je sais quoi, the savoir-faire, you know, whatever, je ne sais quoi, is what I'm trying to say as far as that little extra something that they had before. Your thoughts on this, my friend, Okada and Omega? Again, this was something that rocked the entire landscape of professional wrestling some years back. What about, do you think they have the ability to go back into it once again?
That depends on their physical health. I mean, that's what we're all sitting here, you know, thinking about, is we know what Kenny Omega went through. It was a horrible situation. We know that. Okada just, to me, seems like he's lost a step. And I just feel like there's got to be something there to explain it, like an injury, like something that, you know, something physical. And they won't change their style, which I think that, look, if you're going to be the heel, Okada, you can change. You don't have to do all the cool moves, all right? You could do two or three cool moves and then wrestle as a heel. Punch, kick, stomp, choke, et cetera, et cetera. It's not that hard. I don't know if we're going to get that same level of awesomeness out of this match than we did 4 or 5 years ago. And I don't know.
Well, Ribshot said it doesn't need to be at the same level as that before, but the rivalry is legendary at this point. And I'm thankful to you, Ribshot, for giving them that grace in order to do so, as far as to have that buffer for you in your eyes. But I'm worried about the AEW audience, the regulars, whatnot, that may not be so forgiving. That if it doesn't reach that level, if it's only a 3-star match or a 3.5-star match or whatever, that it's not to their level of expectations for these two and could respond vocally because of that, which, you know, to us would be a really solid match, a really good match. But the AEW style of PLE matches and whatnot, you know, I guess the way that Dave will go ahead and give them stars is whatever your opinion on is on how he does it is how he does it. But their level of what they do on PLEs as far as turning it up and the work rate has to be acknowledged. And I'm just hoping that they will have a, like you said, maybe they won't be able to turn back the clock in that way, but maybe they've added experience, psychology, and other things to the mix that makes it just as interesting this time around.
Agree with you. Absolutely 100% agree with you. That just come up with something different, you know. Show that you can be a more technical wrestler, or as I mentioned with Okada, if he's going to be the heel, be a nasty heel, kick and stomp guys, and you know, and choke them and break it for, you know, there's a way that you could still have a really good match between these two, but we're not getting New Japan 2017, which were awesome matches. I totally will confess that I was a huge fan of those matches. But I don't think we're getting that. So it'll be interesting to see.
And the other main thing I want to go ahead and take away from All In before we get into you, my friend, as far as your background with wrestling, is, of course, John Moxley. You know, despite what we were talking about earlier with his pending legal troubles, along with AEW's, he is going to get in the ring with Will Ospreay, and most likely, as far as a world title match, there is my guess still, because I think it's been always leading into Will Ospreay at this point getting the title match. I think, and that's at least one thing. Hasn't been confirmed as of yet, but I really think at this point they have no other alternative to try and do it. You know, now's the time for Will Ospreay. Now's the time for the company to get behind him. Now's not the time. You can't give him any other secondary titles. You can't keep giving him stuff to do otherwise. At some point in time, you have to give him the ball and run with it. You made this great, conditions for him, his working conditions, where he gets to go home. He doesn't have to go ahead and live here. He's been vocal about that. All the stuff, you're paying him a lot of money. At some point, you have to go ahead and see if he can run your company and get more people to watch your shows. Will he be able to, and also sit in those seats live? This is a company, AEW, that's not doing as well as they once did earlier this decade. So they need something to go ahead and liven things up. And let's see if Will Ospreay is going to do it, because I think at All In, this has got to be his time to shine, John. And we'll see what happens then.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, Will Ospreay can't be, you know, drug along anymore with secondary titles or silly feuds that don't mean anything. I think they just got to look, roll the dice. You got him for a reason, because you felt like he was the future, that you thought that he was going to put butts in seats. Well, now's the time to find out. All right. No matter what has happened in the past, you got to put the pedal to the metal and see if Ospreay is going to do what you hope he will do. I think that out of the entire roster, I think that it has to be Ospreay to get a world title run. Again, I know I just said like 10 minutes ago, I'd like to see Hangman Page with a title run. I would. But I think that it's the obvious choice for them right now is Ospreay, and I think they have to. I think they have to give him the shot.
Yeah, but right now it's still listed as Moxley versus Hangman. I mean, despite the great promo that he did, you know, they've already been down that road with Hangman before. They've already gone that route. It's just, I don't see it as the wise decision. Plus, also, you're trying to fill up a baseball stadium, John. Mm-hmm. And I think that probably the better option right now would be to go with Will Ospreay. That's what I thought this year lead up with Will Ospreay coming to AEW on a full-time basis. That's what I thought this was leading up to. And if it doesn't, you know, and if he gets it at a later point in time and not on the biggest card of the year in front of the biggest crowd they'll see all year, I honestly, all those stuff that people say about AEW, it might be true.
Yeah. I mean, look, no doubt that Ospreay is talented, both in the ring, on the mic, he's pretty darn good too. They just got to pull the trigger on it. So there's nothing like, I'm going to have to be honest. I'm not sure if I know what are they doing with Ospreay right now.
You know, stuff with Shane, you know, with Strickland. Okay. You know, side stuff. They're doing side stuff. They're not doing things to put. I don't know. I just don't know what they want to go ahead and do with them. It just seemed like, again, it comes right down to it. I really think that AEW has spent so much time, so much money in Will Ospreay. I understand Hangman Page is all about, you know, that country life, that outlaw life. Maybe it's more appealing to a home crowd getting butts in the seats in Texas. But man, I just thought everything a year ago, from a year ago, was leading up to now him getting that title at All In. I'm not a huge Will Ospreay fan. I appreciate his work. I think he is still one of the most, if not the most, spectacular in the sport. So, am I going to go dead again? So, John, tell me your thoughts, my friend, on exactly what your thoughts about All In are.
Well, it's going to be an interesting event. I'll say that because, as you mentioned and as we talked about at the beginning of this section here, there's a lot of pressure from the WWE. Look, I don't know what to say about the booking of Will Ospreay other than they better wise up and pull the trigger before it becomes too late. You're messing with the idea that if you wait and wait and wait, then a few years from now, no one's going to care when you put the belt on him. So they got to figure out what they're doing there. It'll be interesting to see what other matches they book because they still have a few more weeks here. I'm sure MJF is going to be doing something with Mystico, I believe. They'll probably do something, you know, with the tag team titles. It'll be interesting to see, but I don't know. I think the WWE is going to bury them. I hate to say it, but yeah, I think that's going to happen.
I'm pretty sure that it's going to bury them because to the rest of the country, I'm not sure Hangman Page is someone that can sell a PLE at this stage of his career. And they've already had the title on him once, and they took it off him for various reasons. But I'm just not sure Hangman Page is that guy. I'm not sure Will Ospreay is either, but I would have at least, as the fresh guy with the title, the main title, I think I would have, you know, been cool with that. I mean, John Moxley at this point, that has not been a good run by most people's assessments. But again, be that as it may, I mean, AEW fans are going to get their All In, but yeah, they're going to be inundated with a lot of WWE in and around All In. So we will see what happens. But yes, it is, of course, AEW's All In. If you have any thoughts on AEW, please put it below. Apologies for the misconnection there. Looks like something went wrong with our internet. So probably mine for a second there. Apologize for that. But if you have questions, comments on AEW, please post it below. Or you can go ahead and send it to the PVDcast or also as well popculturecosmos@yahoo.com. But before we head on out, my friend, the indie darling that you are, wanted to go ahead and make sure we devoted some time to you and just a little tidbit of some of your interesting stories you've had as an indie darling, or maybe Jim Cornette would not be so happy with you, but be that as it may, your time on the indie scene, what are some of the things that you've seen and experienced before we head on out?
Okay. Well, just to set up the situation here is I've been a ring announcer since 2002 with various different promotions in Ohio. I also worked as a play-by-play color commentator. I've done a little booking for companies as well. And so I told you that I have plenty of stories. And I know I'm looking at the time. I have two written down here, one that's short and one that's a little longer. So I'll go with the short one first, okay? Uh-huh. So I was, as I mentioned, a ring announcer for a company here in Ohio. And I was there since day one all the way till the end of the current or that administration. In other words, the promoter sold the business and was getting out of it. So I was there for about 16 years. So there was a promoter, another promoter that was running a show literally 10 minutes from my house. And I was like, man, I'd like to get on that show because I would like to do something different. I'd like to be a manager. All right, I'll do that. Now, I've never done this before in my life. But at the time, in the same promotion that I was working in, we had a gentleman named Caden. And he was of Lebanese descent, and he was doing a kind of a chic gimmick, if you will. So I had thought, hey, man, it'd be cool to kind of be his manager. And we could kind of do a little bit of that Muhammad Hassan type of shtick. You know, he's from America. You treat him badly, blah, blah, blah. So out of respect, I went to my promoter and said, Jeff, I'd like to do this. And he was like, well, you're very important to me. You know that. And I don't really want you to ruin your character just for this show. I'm like, well, look, I got a whole new character, whole new wardrobe, the whole nine. And he's like, okay, fine. Didn't really matter because Gerald, when I showed up the day, that Friday night for the show, there was 20 people there. So, I mean, we didn't have to really worry about that. I walked in, saw the promoter. I said hello to everybody. And I said to the promoter, I said, hey, what's Caden and I, what are we doing tonight? And Caden was still at work. So he was still not quite at the building. And so the promoter says, well, I got you and Caden going against Buff Bagwell. And now Buff had been booked for this show. I knew that because the next night he was booked for us in the home promotion. And I said to him, I said, wait, stop messing around. I mean, seriously, what are we? He's like, no, I got you in the main event. You guys against Buff Bagwell. Now, in my mind, I'm like, holy cow. I don't know what I'm doing. Like, I have no idea how to be a man. I think I know. I'm doing this for giggles and fun. I'm not doing this. I'm like, and I'm kind of freaking out because I'm like, I can't believe this. So I call Caden. I go, hey, man. I'm at the venue, and he goes, okay. I go, we're in the main event. He's like, oh, cool, man. That's awesome. I'm like, is it? Is it because we have Buff Bagwell? Now, Caden also only in the biz maybe 4 or 5 years. He also gets kind of freaked out. Are you messing with me? I'm like, no, I'm not messing with you. I had to tell him, Gerald, like 4 times, we're in the main event. We have Buff Bagwell. He's like, I don't know. So Caden shows up. We go in the back. We're still like, what are we going to do? I don't know. I don't know how to do this. So Buff comes through the curtain. He's there. He shakes his hands with everyone. And I knew that I could not BS him. Like, I just knew that I couldn't just be like, well, yeah, what do you want to do tonight? I went right up to him. And after saying our hellos, I go, hey, I'm doing a manager gimmick. And this is Caden. And we're going to be your opponents. But I'm going to be honest with you, sir. I've never been a manager before, so I have no idea what I'm doing. So what do you want me to do? And he gave me a spot. He goes, I'll give you one spot. That's all you got to remember. I'm like, okay. He goes, so boom, 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 boom. He ran through the spot and he goes, now, if you forget the spot, then you're in trouble. I'm like, oh, yes, sir. And lo and behold, in front of those 20 people here in Columbus, Ohio, we had the match and
you're not saying it's a sellout crowd like every other pass?
No, it was not. It was not 300 people packed into the VFW hall. No, but it was great. I hit the spot. The only one he gave me, it went super smooth. And then, in the back, he was like, hey, you did great. Thanks. And whatnot. And so, that was just one of many Buff Bagwell stories I have, because believe it or not, Gerald, for a time in the mid 2000s, he drew big numbers on the indies. We used him 4 times, I think, and we had almost to capacity in the venues that we ran, which we ran venues that hold about 300-400 people. So he, Buff still had the stuff at that time in his career.
Nice. I'm very happy for you, my friend, that it worked out as well. I mean, there's also the stuff that you could draw on when it comes to what we're talking about here with your stuff. I mean, you draw on certain things from your past experience in watching wrestling. I mean, the arguing with the refs, being annoying, being annoying to the crowd. Certain things that you picked up from other managers, obviously, that there are certain basics that I'm sure that you utilized during that in that match, right?
Yeah. And this is the first and only time I ever managed. I was like, nope, no. I know where my strengths are. And I'm like, okay. So it was fun. And like I said, I'm glad I got the experience to it, but it going from not really knowing what to do and how to position myself for spots and whatnot. And then being thrown, I thought we were going to be the opening match. So if I mess something up, you know what I mean? If I mess something up in the opening match, who cares? No one's going to. But this is Buff freaking Bagwell that, you know, as a kid I grew up watching. And so it was like, you know, you don't want to mess up in front of him. But yeah, Buff, great dude, really good talent. And like I said, that's my story for this installment of whatever we're going to call this segment. I think it needs
There you go. Ask John Orlando. There you go. Indie darling John Orlando. Obviously, we're going to go ahead and delve more into his time working on the indies. I look forward to it. But before we head on out, I do want to go ahead and make sure you get plenty of time to go ahead and drop, you know, the knowledge out there on what you're doing with PVDcast and, of course, also as well, what you're doing with Matt Talk. So go ahead, my friend. What are you doing with both of those great shows?
Well, Matt Talk is a Matlock-themed podcast that my buddy and I do, my co-host Jason and I do. We do them the second and fourth Sundays of the month. We just did the episode from season six called Mr. Awesome, which sounds like a wrestling episode, but it's not. It's not. It's more comic book fan, actually. It's more comic book, if you will. So we did that episode this past week. It's up on the Facebook page of Matt Talk. That's at Matt Talk Podcast. We also have the YouTube channel up and going as well. I always forget to plug it, but just go to YouTube, search Matt Talk, M-A-T-T-A-L-K, and you should find it as well. In terms of the PVD cast, my own personal podcasting project, this week I sit down with a guest that first appeared on the show in February, a gentleman named Corey, who is the guy behind a great little YouTube channel called Wilkie's Movies and Music. And the first time he was on in February, we talked all about movies. This time we talk all about music, such as, you know, favorite bands, concerts we regret seeing, concerts we wish we would have saw, concerts we did see, top five bands, you know, the technology of, you know, streaming now versus vinyl and CDs, all kinds of topics related to music. So if you're so inclined, please check it out, pvdcast.com or wherever you find great podcasts.
Absolutely, indeed. So please do that. It is, of course, Matt Talk, also as well, of course, the PVDcast, two great shows indeed. I, of course, also host the Lakers Fast Break and Inside Sports Fantasy Football. Of course, I'm here twice a week around the world on radio stations worldwide, and then, of course, twice a week on podcast outlets everywhere with the Pop Culture Cosmos and PC Multiverse. I know Josh and I will be back for another episode. We're going to cover some of the stuff that happened this previous weekend. Also, as well, Xbox has a new VR headset out, everyone, but it's limited edition, so get it quick. We'll talk about that, plus a lot more stuff coming up here in the not-too-distant future, plus also, as well, F1. That's coming out this weekend. So, among other things, we're going to go ahead and talk about Ironheart. We're going to talk about all the stuff that's coming out here as well. So, catch the Pop Culture Cosmos wherever you get your podcasts as well. But, John, it's been great having you here, my friend, as always. Any last thoughts as we get to a semi-busy summer month of July before we head on out?
You know,
not quite the Great American Bash to be normal, but...
We don't. You mean you don't want Dustin Rhodes to drive you to the ring on a golf cart?
No. I think I'm good on that. I think I'm okay with seeing the half-empty baseball stadiums across the Southeast. You know, like we used to see that in order to go ahead and justify that. So yeah, I think I'm good.
Okay. Okay. No, I don't have anything else to say other than, folks, just have a great couple of weeks. We'll be back soon with another installment, and you know, just be cool, be safe. I can't think of anything else. There you go. I'm rambling. Let's get on out of here.
Let's get on out of here. Indeed, it is the State of Pro Wrestling. Always glad to have you here, John. It's my tag team partner for the State of Pro Wrestling. Right here for the PVD cast, Matt Talk, Lakers Fast Break, Inside Sports Fantasy Football, and of course, right here at the Pop Culture Cosmos. Ding, ding, ding!
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. my conversation with Gerald Glassford talking about the state of pro wrestling for June and July. What can I say? We covered a lot. A ton of WWE news, some AEW, and I hope that you enjoyed my small little story about being a manager and first night out having to be the opponent of Buff Bagwell. And I hope that you liked them, and really, let us know if you dig that segment, because we'd like to do more of them. I have a lot of great stories from the past 20 years of doing what I've been doing in the indie scene here in Ohio. So definitely let me know what you think, and there's a couple different ways you can do that. First of all, you can email me. JohnOrlando at pvdcast.com is the email address. You can leave me a message over on the Facebook, Instagram, and Threads accounts. Just look for at pvdcast. And I still have Twitter. My personal Twitter handle is at pvdmvp. Now, maybe you want to let some folks know about where they can hear this great show. Well, there's a couple different avenues for that. First, pvdcast.com is the online home of yours truly, and probably the best place to get all of the new episodes of the PVD cast. But it's also available through all of those major podcasting outlets. All you got to do is go to the search bar, put in PVD cast. Sometimes you have to put my name after it, and you should find it. And as we're talking about those outlets and apps, you got to do me a favor. Rate and review. Rating and reviewing helps me out in the algorithm, and it lets those folks know, those big outlets and apps, that you're listening. And while you're there, you might want to just go ahead and subscribe, too, so that you never miss an episode of the PVD cast. And then on Wednesday nights, through the Facebook page, at PVD cast once again, you can hear the week's episode through a live broadcast that I do every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So there you go. You have three ways that you can hear the PVD cast. One, pvdcast.com. Number two, through your favorite podcasting outlet or app. And number three, through the live broadcast on the Facebook page every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. All right, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get on out of here. I want to thank you once again for checking out the episode, and I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous, stay independent, and stay safe and healthy. Presentation of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2020.